Thank you, Pastor Manuel and Andrew. We're excited about the Vision Day next Sunday. And as Ryan already mentioned, we want to, this morning, not only learn some of what the Bible says about sorrow, but also give everybody space to grieve. And so I'm going to do most of the teaching here at the beginning, and then we'll sing and hear testimony in the service as well. But as we come to God's Word, why don't we start with prayer before any teaching? God, we thank you so much that you love us and that you've gifted us with your word and through your spirit with your presence. And so we welcome you here this morning, God, and we invite you to work, touch all of our hearts and minds this morning throughout the service as well as everything else that happens in the building. And may it all be to your glory. I pray you'd help me to honor you in how I speak and what I say, and that all of us would be built up and encouraged and touched by you this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So over the past year and a half, you know, we've all been through challenges, losses, and sorrows, big and small. You know, things like canceled travel plans, or unexpectedly schooling your kids from home, or illnesses and hospitalizations, pressures to be constantly vigilant, racial injustice, church only online, power outages and busted pipes, canceled prom and graduation, not seeing some friends and family for a long time, political strife, lost income and work, conflict over masks and vaccinations, missing handshakes and hugs, the passing of loved ones. And while all of these things and more have been going on, you or your workplace or your family may have burdened you further by expecting you to operate at a normal level, even in this very abnormal situation. And this situation, this season, is one that many thought would be over much sooner. You know, back in March of 2020, we had a welcome class schedule that we had to postpone. And I initially rescheduled in my mind for July 2020, thinking surely we'd be done with all this COVID stuff and things would be back to normal by July. Or little did I know that we would end up having that welcome class over a year after the original date. And on top of all this uncertainty and the expectations and just all the stuff we've all been going through, you've also had your own personal challenges, losses, sorrows in this season too. And so with all of this hardship and this sorrow, how do we respond? You know, should people of faith just get over their sorrows quickly, rushing back to away from grief and to joyful praise? Well, as we look at God's word, it includes a whole book that's called Lamentations, so we probably don't want to rush too fast, that instead we would want to take some time to grieve and to grieve with God. And Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah to mourn the sufferings of God's people as their capital city, Jerusalem, was sieged and destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 BC. And if you look at the Hebrew that Lamentations was originally written in, you'll see that the book laments the people's suffering and their sin using an acrostic that covers the whole Hebrew alphabet, letter by letter. And so Jeremiah is using this acrostic structure. To give an acrostic example in English to make sure we're clear here on it, I found an acrostic poem online about a friend. And it says, for the letter A, that a friend accepts you as you are. And for the letter B, a friend believes in you. And for the letter C, a friend calls you. And so on through the whole Hebrew, or through the whole alphabet, letter by letter, in that case in English, from A to Z. And so Jeremiah is using that same sort of acrostic structure here in the Hebrew language. But instead of it being about a friendship thing, his acrostic laments God's people's suffering and their sin. And so in Lamentations, Jeremiah starts with the Hebrew letter for A, and he laments. And then he moves on to the Hebrew letter for B, and then he laments some more. And he does that so on and so on until he's gone through the entire Hebrew alphabet. And Jeremiah doesn't grieve through the Hebrew alphabet A through Z just once. He actually does it in the book four times in a row. Jeremiah laments using the whole Hebrew alphabet letter by letter in chapter 1, and then laments through the whole Hebrew alphabet again in chapter 2, and then again in chapter 3, and then again in chapter 4. So Jeremiah, he takes the time needed to grieve, to pour out his sorrows. And he doesn't just grieve all alone, all by himself. Jeremiah, instead, he grieves with God. Jeremiah mourns Jerusalem's suffering and their destruction with God. And Jeremiah mourns the failings of the religious leaders and the people's unrepentant sin with God. And Jeremiah cries out to God for justice against the unjust. Jeremiah also, in the book, occasionally expresses hope or praise in the midst of all the sorrow, showing us that we can hold the truth of our grief and of our hope both at the same time. And so if you think about Jesus' life in that regard, Jesus was full of hope, and yet he still took the time to weep over Lazarus' death, even though he knew he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He still took that time to grieve. And Jesus gave himself the freedom to experience deep anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me in that dark moment? Rather than instead saying something like, God is great and victorious, praise him in that dark moment. And so as we look at Jesus' life, as well as this Old Testament book of Lamentations, it shows us that it's not really healthy to just try to stuff all our sorrows. That it's not healthy to just try to prematurely move on from them. That our sorrows are significant. And that it's important to take the time to grieve with God. As one author notes writing about the Book of Lamentations, one cannot rush through an acrostic. And in Lamentations' case, there are four grieving acrostics in a row. A to Z, four straight times. And so as I think about all the sorrows you've accumulated over the past year and a half, have you just thrown a quick metaphorical Band-Aid on them and tried to just soldier on? Or have you instead taken the time to really grieve with God about your losses, your sorrows? And as those around you have experienced losses and sorrows over this past year and a half, have I or you pressured them to just hurry up and get over it and move on, get back to being productive? Or have you and I encouraged them to take the time needed that they need to grieve with God? Well, as we take that time to grieve, we might also wonder, what does it look like? Can I really be honest with God about how I really feel? Well, the Old Testament book of Psalms shows us that it is important to grieve honestly, unbottled with God. Bible scholars have put the 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms into categories, and the category that's the largest are the lament Psalms. There's more of those than of any other kind of psalm. And so that shows us that the Bible invites us to grieve frequently when we need to. And God has given us in the Psalms an invitation to bring our deepest sorrows and regrets, losses, all of our pain to him, even our bitterest complaints to him. And we're not only to grieve by ourselves, but also together, corporately, in places like the worship service, as some of those lament psalms are actually designed for when we gather in worship together. And so the Psalms, as you read through it, it invites real honesty with God. Like, I've been remembering you, God, even as I've been drowning in tears, and yet you've still forgotten me, God. We're going to have on the screen some verses from the Psalms that represent these kinds of feelings. And as I read through some of these honest laments from God's Word, see if any of them are putting words to the cry of your heart this morning about what's gone on over the past year and a half. First are some tearful verses from Psalm 42. They say, "My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' I say to God, my rock, 'Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?'" In the Psalms, God even invites us to bring honest complaint about him in the midst of our sorrows. See if you resonate with the beginning of Psalm 13, which says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Now, many of these lament psalms also end on a note of hope or praise. Because as we process before God, we can sometimes hold both the truth of our grief and of our hope at the same time. However, lament psalms like Psalm 88 don't end with any note of hope or praise, just dark emotions and perspectives on God. Now listen to the last verses of Psalm 88. "But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your tears and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend." Maybe you resonate with some of that this morning. If you do, you can share it with God. That's what the Psalms are showing us. God even invites us to share with him our rage that has arisen from our sorrow and our losses. Like, "God, I'm so grieved and angry about these abusive Babylonians and what they've done to us that I want to see their babies murdered. That's how I feel, God." As Psalm 137, verses 8 and 9, darkly express about their Babylonian enemies. "Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks." So all these deep, dark laments in the book of Psalms, they're not there as model ways of the ideal way to pray. Rather, God's graciously included them in his word to show us that we really can bring even our darkest emotions and feelings to God, that we really are free to grieve with God fully honestly, unbottled. Now, through the book of Psalms, God graciously endorses us bringing our deepest sorrows, our darkest feelings, and our bitterest complaints before him. And it's because God loves us deeply as our heavenly Father. And thankfully, as God, he can handle easily all of our darkest outbursts and sorrows. You know, God already knows, as God, all those dark things in us, and yet he has already fully accepted us in love in Jesus. So all who receive from God by believing in Jesus, they are loved without conditions. And so he makes us free to grieve honestly before God because we have that perfect love without conditions with him. As we grieve with God, it opens up our emotions to God's loving, transforming work. You know, repressed sorrow has power over us. But when we grieve honestly with God, he can help us to see if our sorrow comes from a healthy place or an unhealthy one. And he, as God, is the only one who can really touch the deepest, darkest, most sorrowful corners of our hearts. You know, sometimes you can't or you shouldn't speak honestly with others about the ways they've hurt you. But Psalms has shown us that you can always speak honestly to God about your losses, your sorrows, your pains. And so, in light of what we've seen from God's Word this morning, I'd like to invite the worship team to go ahead and come up now. And so as we sing now our worship set, or as you just tearfully listen to it, let's take this time together to grieve honestly with God. And after we sing, I'll come back up and I'll share a story of a woman who powerfully models what we've been talking about here of grieving honestly with God. But as the worship team sets up now, let's pray. Let's ask God to meet us. God, we thank you from your word that we see these gracious invitations from you to bring all of our deepest, darkest things before your presence. What an awesome, gracious, loving God you are to invite us to that. And so we pray now that you would even free us, help us to be honest before you, wherever all of us are really at this morning. And whatever part of that is sorrow and grief, help us to really genuinely bring it to you. And we pray that you would touch us all as we do so, that we look to you, we welcome your presence, we need your touch, and so we ask for it, God, and that you would bless this time as we sing and pray. Amen.